Look, we get it. You're tired. The next presidential election is still just over a year away, but it feels like the last one never ended.
And if that's how you feel, imagine what it's like for folks who cover this stuff for a living. We asked a couple of our pals from the NPR Politics podcast to tell us what pop culture they turn to when they need a break. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Glenn Weldon. Today on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, we're giving you some tips for making it through the next 12 months. Also with us is NPR White House reporter Ayesha Rascoe. Hey, Ayesha.
Hello.
And rounding out our panel is Danielle Kurtzleben. Danielle is a political reporter for NPR's Washington desk. Hey, Danielle, glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
Stephen, you and I have done segments very like this before many times over the year, kind of pop culture comfort food.
Yes.
This is different, though. So what'd you pick?
Well, is it different?
Because, it's got a purpose.
Because so much of what we're talking about when we talk about pop culture comfort food is just things that allow us to shut out the world in some way or another. And I've started writing down lists, and what I came up with was a lot of stuff that I've recommended on this show before. So I'm going to do a quick lightning round and then some advice. First of all, anything that fills your head with music that is either very soothing or very, very loud. I have talked extensively on this show about neoclassical, ambient, head-filling instrumental music that just allows you to shut out the noise in a way that kind of slows the blood. And also about artists like Andrew W.K., whose music is a massive wall of sound.
Yes.
that gets you up out of your chair and shuts out not only the world's stupidity, but the world's intelligence. And just allows you to hunker down and experience joy.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm talking about TV shows and movies, a lot of what I'm looking for is loud. Pee-wee's Big Adventure is such a great go-to because it has no bearing on the actual world.
I feel like you could do that with a lot of Tim Burton movies.
Yeah.
Visual loudness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Visual loudness, I think, is really, really key. But also, you know, you can find that sense of calm that I talked about with music in like the Won't You Be My Neighbor, Mr. Rogers documentary, where you were watching. You are watching a world of kindness play out in front of you, and it is a reminder that that there is good and righteousness in the world. And you know, even like Parks and Rec, it's too politics adjacent for me in election season.
Right.
But hunker down with your favorite stuff. Mm-hmm. Hunker down with stuff that you're comfortable experiencing those same beats over and over again. As for advice, I am a big fan of, and I know it's really tougher for Ayesha and Danielle. You are political reporters. You have to be immersed in this stuff, but I cannot highly enough recommend the weekend social media blackout.
If you can, I really
try to stay off of, I'm mostly Twitter and Facebook, a tiny bit of Instagram. I try to shut it out completely on weekends when I can. Stick to routines that limit the amount of time you spend marinating in it. This is one thing that the NPR Politics podcast, if I may throw a plug to your far more successful show.
By all means.
NPR Politics podcast is a digest, and it has it runs for a finite period of time. You want to know what's going on in the world, get a political fix, have political opinions, and then put them aside so I can go through and not spend my entire day marinating in it. There is a Google Chrome app called Make America Kittens Again. That replaces it depends on how you feel about our president, but it replaces
and kittens.
Yes.
But it replaces every photo of Donald Trump with a picture of a kitten. And so you will go to like CNN.com or NPR.org, and every picture that has Donald Trump in it will be a picture of a kitten.
There you go.
Escapism is your friend. And finally, I cannot stress this enough: if you watch live TV for any reason, particularly in my case, sports, get a DVR, start an hour late, and skip the commercials.
Yeah, this is huge.
Okay,
I cannot abide during election season. It is, in the Washington, D.C. area, currently election season, and we're getting a lot of Northern Virginia state Senate races because it is heavily contested there. Hate that stuff. Hate those commercials. They set my teeth on edge. They stress me out. They make me mad.
Yeah, this is all... I love the practicality of this. I love the service journalism you're doing here.
Yes.
Now, one thing you touched on is this idea, and I think we're all all going to touch on it in different ways, is that this idea of to escape, we need immersion. We need to marinate in something. And one of the best ways to immerse yourself in something is via music, because it fills your head, it fills your soul. Yes. And Aisha, your pick is musical.
Yes, it is musical. And it's something, I mean, this is an artist who I've always loved, has always been one of my favorite vocalists of all time. But this year, I ended up watching this documentary, which made me get even deeper into the catalog and really immerse myself. And it is Teddy Pendergrass. Yeah. Teddy Pendergrass, there's this documentary, Teddy Pendergrass, If You Don't Know Me. And obviously, that's a playoff of If You Don't Know Me By Now by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, which Teddy Pendergrass was a part of this group. It was called Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. But Teddy Pendergrass is the group. Like, every hit they had.
He's the Blue Note.
He is the one who sang that, you know, I mean, he's the lead.
Can you remind us what that song sounds like?
If You Don't Know Me By Now.
Yeah, let's hear a few bars.
If you don't know me by now. Okay, I left it there. I left it there.
And we don't have to pay for it, too.
Yeah.
Perfect length. Fair use.
So, yeah, so it is. So I knew, of course, I knew all of those songs, but I didn't know. Some of this, like, deeper into Teddy Pendergrass's catalog, I didn't know as much. Like, I knew the Come and Go With Me, you know, If You Don't Know Me By Now, Love TKO, all of those. But this year, I really got into this song, Cold, Cold World. And it sounds, to me, it's like, it's almost, it's broad and sweeping, but it also applies to today.
Yeah.
Because it's basically like, you know, if you can't, like, sometimes life really gets at you. Like, there are lots of changes. Sometimes it seems things just don't go right. And sometimes, like, you can't even find peace of mind even when you sleep. But yeah, but basically, the chorus of the song is, don't let this cold world get you down. Be strong. Hold on. And so I really love that. So Cold, Cold World, I mean, it's basically, I mean, like I said, it's very broad and sweeping. And it's just saying to you, look, from one friend to another, it seems that something's been bothering you. And this could go to anybody on the political spectrum.
Like, that's fair.
And look, sometimes life can get you down. And so it's a cold, cold world. When Teddy is serenading you, like, how can you not feel better? I mean, it just makes me feel so much better. Anytime I hear Teddy singing to me, it just makes my life and my heart feel lighter in this cold, cold world that we live in.
That is such a great pick. It's like he's reaching into my chest and soothing it. Soothing the heart.
You know what I'm going to be listening to on loop at my desk.
You should listen to it. And all of Harold Melvin and the Blue Note, all of that, I Miss You. And he has more upbeat songs, too, like, listen to it. It's
absolutely
fun.
Done.
It's nice. Yeah.
Danielle, let us hear your pick.
Right. So my pick is a kind of grab bag, and it echoes a bit of what Stephen said. I was going through the things that that do bring me comfort during election season, which, let's face it, is constantly. It's a permanent campaign at all times, midterms, presidential. Like, there's no letting up from it. But the things that bring me comfort, the first thing I thought of was Stephen King novels, because I was recently on a campaign trip. I was out reporting, and I had a few hours before my flight. I stopped by a Barnes & Noble because I was in the suburbs where you live talking to swing voters during a campaign. And so I found a Barnes & Noble and found a Stephen King book, and I thought, I haven't read one of these since I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that pretty much the kind of comfort stuff I want is everything that I loved when I was 17.
Uh-huh. Like,
the stuff that you know the rhythms of it, like any Stephen King book you pick up, or at least most of them, the rhythms are the same. The dialogue is similar but different enough that it's still exciting and entertaining. It's, I'm not saying it's old, but like, it's great.
The scary stuff is in italics, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, the characters magically all have the same turns of phrase, whether they live in Maine or Louisiana, it doesn't matter. But like, then I also, you know, find myself craving the X-Files, particular episodes that I loved when I was a teenager, the Foo Fighters, Lauryn Hill. the book House of Leaves. Ally McBeal recently I suddenly got a hankering for. Listen, I'm not saying it's the greatest stuff, but what I'm saying is the stuff that, like, is in your marrow that you know by heart. Mm-hmm. And if I had to psychoanalyze this, I think it's that, like, there's so much new, I don't necessarily want anything else new. Like, when I have downtime, I want something that I know backwards and forwards.
Uh-huh. You know, when the news is inescapable, because we live in the world, we are of the world, and the world is on fire, the thing to do, I think, is to pick another world. So I'm going to spend the next 12 months immersing myself in other worlds. Not planets, because it's not science fiction, that's not my jam, but fantasy novels. Okay. I'm going to revisit some of my favorite fantasy novels, because what I seek at this time is magic and maps. I need the book to have a map.
You have to have the map.
You have, if I pick up a book and you haven't written a map in the beginning, you are wasting my time. Take the time, don't waste mine.
Family trees are also helpful.
This is, for many cases, So every fantasy series I love just leaves me wanting because there's something off about it. So I try to reread Lord of the Rings once a year if I can. I don't often do it, but when I do, you just marvel at this world, the imagination, the linguistic complexity, the descriptions of landscape, and then he calls the villain swarthy, and you're like, okay, I'm out for now. Yeah. The Chronicles of Amber by Roger Zelazny, I found hugely satisfying as a kid because it's this very schematic multiverse. Obviously, he created the blueprint first and then sort of peopled it with people and plot. The Madripoor Chronicles by Robert Silverberg, he's getting a little of his science fiction chocolate in my fantasy peanut butter there, but I forgive it because one of the things that first book, Lord Valentine's Castle, teaches you how to do is juggle. Learned how to juggle by reading a fantasy novel. The King Killer Chronicle by Patrick Rothfuss. Happens. The King Killer Chronicle by Patrick Rothfuss. I like those books. You spend so much of that first book, though, in cities and towns that are not on the map that he has carefully provided for you. It's like, what's the map for, Patrick? What am I? Am I in the middle of the ocean? I don't know. The Song of Ice and Fire. Look, I think it's okay to take a break from that world for a while, which is a sentiment apparently I share with George R.R. Martin.
Yes, a very long break.
Do you guys know the Chronicles of Thomas Covenant the Unbeliever? I love these books as a kid. Okay, so if you are a snot-nosed punk, adolescent punk like I was, these books are just so emo. They are just, everybody in them is racked with guilt. It's like chronic depression, the fantasy novel. it's just so dark and
tortured.
You're
really selling
us on this. I was going to say, sign me up.
But if you also are a snot-nosed punk who is obsessed with being the smartiest smarty pants in the room, the vocabulary in these books just stop me. I remember there was a sentence once you come across, the flame burned lambent yet telic. And I was like, what? I don't know what you're saying. I know what that is. But I looked it up.
Means
flickering but purposeful. So there you go.
Okay.
And then finally, The Chronicles of Narnia. Okay. Yeah. By C.S. Lewis. Yeah. First of all, no map. That's a deal breaker, ladies. Sorry.
But you'll allow it.
I will allow it, even though the heaviness of the Christian allegory is very, very, very heavy.
Yeah,
it's like you close the book and you feel like you've spent the afternoon with your beardy, barefoot youth pastor who's like puts down his guitar and is like, let's rap about JC, the ultimate punk rocker. Like, that's the vibe.
Okay, actually, sign me up.
Yeah. But I come away from them vaguely dissatisfied, so I'm looking to you, gentle listeners, for recommendations for fantasy series. Here's the criteria: magic and a map. Bonus points for several maps, because again, we're talking about immersion here. So the more maps, the better.
If you can have like a centerfold
that would be
that,
so
like
cool.
Folds out and it's like a massive map of like the entire.
More bonus points for not written by a straight white dude. Nothing wrong with them. Some of my best friends are straight white dudes, but I just looked at that list that I just gave, and every single one is so coming from this one point of view, which is probably why my main criteria, the big one, the 10,000 bonus points, is if the words chosen one appear nowhere in the text, I don't want to see chosen. I don't want to see one. I don't want that whole truck, that whole thing, nothing.
They can appear separately.
They can appear separately, I suppose. So come at me with your fantasy recommendations, fantasy book recommendations. People are going to ask, like, well, what about games? What about, like, Breath of the Wild, Skyrim, Dragon Age? The thing about those is, even though they are magic and you can't play them without traveling all over a map, I suck at them. I'm terrible, especially when it comes to combat. And other people are going to say, well, what about D&D? Now, Danielle, you and I and NPR's Steve Mullis had a conversation over Twitter about starting a D&D game here at NPR.
That's true. Oh, hey, by the way, what are you? I'm chaotic neutral.
I'm chaotic good, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
fair enough.
But As soon as we said that over Twitter, we were primly remonstrated, because NPR is NPR, that, in fact, I think you'll find there are several ongoing games already being played at NPR.
Yeah, but no one invited us.
This is my point.
Yes.
They merely alerted us of their presence. They did not invite us.
Correct.
In.
What the hell, people?
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to start one. You, me, Steve, anybody else? You guys in?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think I might actually have to be in.
Yeah, all right.
Sure, I can do that.
So tell us what you do to make it through the election year. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. When we come back, it will be time to talk about what's making us happy this week. So come right back.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. With the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card, you can earn 5% back at Walmart online, 2% at Walmart in-store, restaurants, and travel, and 1% everywhere else. When you want all that, you need the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. What's in your wallet? Terms and exclusions apply. Capital One N.A.
Support also comes from Little Passports, a monthly subscription service that sparks kids' curiosity about the world around them. Each curated package is filled with fun ways to experience the excitement of discovering geography, world cultures, or science, with projects designed for their passionate young minds. Every month brings a new adventure for you and your child to explore together. Learn more at littlepassports.com/NPR.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's time for our favorite segment of this week and every week. What is making us happy this week? Stephen Thompson, what's making you happy this week?
Hereditary, a horror movie that my 15-year-old daughter absolutely loves. And over the weekend, she said, "Dad, can we please sit down and watch Hereditary together?" And I did something incredibly foolish. I did.
Yeah.
It is an extremely effective horror movie. Really well made. There is horror and gore, but there's also a dinner conversation with no violence that made me cover my face with sick horror.
Yeah.
This is an absolutely terrifying film. Highly, highly effective. If you are a horror person and somehow have not seen Hereditary, I know, Aisha, you're
Aisha,
a horror person.
I am a horror person. I have not seen it, though, Ooh. So I need to see it.
Well, like, it will... Yes. It will...
It will haunt me.
It will haunt you.
It looks very disturbing. Like,
yes.
And I'm always like, do I want to watch it? But then I need like the lights to be on and everybody to be around.
You're also like me, a parent.
Yes, I mean, and so it's hard.
And
to,
this film taps deeply into that and just like pokes it. I'm reminded, as I often am with really, really, really scary movies, of an anecdote that a friend of Linda Holmes told, where he watched The Blair Witch Project and had to go home, close all the blinds, and watch A Bug's Life twice.
Cleanse the palate.
And after watching Hereditary, my daughter and I then watched 6 straight episodes of Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir on Netflix, which is rated Y7.
Has this actually made you happy this week?
I mean, it is a very good movie that I'm very glad I've seen. It has a big, big performance by Toni Collette at its center. She is she's doing a lot of acting.
There is shifts in emotion on Toni Collette's face happen instantaneously and terrifyingly. Yes, it's fantastic. Very good pick. Thank you, Stephen Thompson. Aisha Rascoe, what is making you happy this week?
So kind of along those same lines, it's Halloween is this week, obviously. And so the good thing that I've been really enjoying is that Netflix has all of these kind of like, I think they call it Netflix and Chills. I'm not trying to promote them, but whatever. But they have these like movies, you know, I feel like Hallmark, you get the Christmas movies, right?
Sure.
And so, but you don't get like these kind of like, just, they're not big, they're not Hereditary horror movies or like scary films, but just like good TV movie, scary. And so I've watched In the Tall Grass.
All right.
And I watched In the Shadow of the Moon. So In the Tall Grass is like a Stephen King, it's based on a Stephen King short story. And essentially the plot is you go into the tall grass and you're lost in the tall, like, and bad things happen. Let's say these people end up going into tall grass because they hear a voice, they hear someone that sounds lost, they go in to try to help, and things go bad. And In the Shadow of the Moon is kind of one of those, like, you know, it's like a serial killer who keeps showing up every, like, 17 years or something, and there's something behind it. I want more movies like this. They have more that I haven't been able to watch because I work and stuff.
So there's some
more that I'm going to try to watch this week. But I like the idea of, like, it's the month of Halloween and you get all of these movies that scare you. Like, I think they should do that more.
I like the idea of a Hallmark Halloween.
Yeah, Hallmark Halloween for scary movies.
Correct.
Sure, yes, that's what I like.
Excellent. Excellent pick. Okay. Danielle Kurtzleben, what is making you happy this week?
So this week, I found out that a show that I love, I found out belatedly, but it's making me happy, a show that I love is getting a second season, coming apparently still this year. It is an Adult Swim show. Each episode is 10 to 15 minutes. It's called Joe Pera Talks With You.
Huh.
The premise of the show is very simple. It is that the most mild-mannered, unassuming man in the world, played by comedian Joe Pera, his name is Joe Pera, tells you about his life in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Ooh.
And so it is him just being mild-mannered, telling you about the iron ore mining or taking you on a fall drive. Now, if you want to get into this show, go to season one. It's on adultswim.com or whatever the website is. And watch the episode called Joe Pera Reads the Church Announcements.
Okay. Oh.
Now, I'm assuming you get a really thick Youper accent.
You very much get that, yeah.
Okay.
But, like, there's... but Joe. So I have a clip to play for us. It is Joe Pera getting up at his little Catholic church and reading the announcements, and then this happens.
The holidays are coming up, and the Roy P. Schimmelmacher toy drive will take place from December. I'm sorry. Have you guys heard The Who? They rock. They're unbelievable. I heard them for the first time on Thursday, and I haven't slept since. I was in my kitchen doing my kitchen chores, and I was listening to this classic rock station because my hands were soaked and I couldn't change the channel.
And then what happens is that the classic rock station starts playing Baba O'Reilly by The Who, you know, Teenage Wasteland, mm-hmm. and you see this look of just joy spread across this man's face as he hears this song for the first time. Then, like, the next 10 minutes are him dancing with his dog, ordering a pizza, dancing with the pizza delivery man. It is just 10 minutes of joy and the gentlest humor you can possibly find.
That's
it is
amazing.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Because I was waiting for the Adult Swim twist, right?
No.
I mean, like, the sharpness, the edge, the weirdness,
no,
nothing.
No, it's not there. The great thing about it is that this guy is mild-mannered and meek, but he's very much himself. The show doesn't poke fun at him.
Mm-hmm.
He's very comfortable being mild-mannered and meek. It's great.
Awesome.
So that was Joe Pera Talks With You, and that is what is making me happy this week.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, my pick. Rami Youssef's HBO stand-up special Feelings is just great. He's smart. He's funny. And this special grapples with the real world, which is odd at first because his affect is so low-key, almost Mitch Hedbergian low-key. But it doesn't have any of the absurdity. It's not conceptual comedy. It's very concrete, very grounded, very of the moment. He leads off with a whole chunk about Jussie Smollett. It ends up in a place where you don't think it will. There is such gentleness and compassion to his affect, to his demeanor, which belies how sharp and funny his comedy is. Also, it just looks great. It was filmed in the Chicago Cultural Center, which is this very warmly lit, bright room with all these archways. And you can see the faces of the audience around him. And the camera just kind of slowly circles him. And you can kind of see outside there's snow gently falling through the windows. Rami Youssef's HBO stand-up special Feelings is highly recommended. And that brings us to the end of our show. You can find us all on Twitter. You can find me at G.H. Weldon. You can follow Stephen at I Dislike Stephen. You can follow Aisha at AYESHARASCOE. MOUSE. You can follow Danielle at Tatanka, as in Tatanka, Iowa, population 496.
Yes. Very good.
You can follow producer Emmanuel Johnson at Emmanuel_speaks. You can follow our other producer, Jessica Reedy, at Jessica_Reedy. And our producer emeritus and music director, Mike Katziff, at Mike Katziff, that's KATZIF. Mike's band Hello Come In is providing the music you may or may not be bobbing your head to right now, if head bobbing is a thing that you do. Thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. And we will see you all next week.
Halloween is supposed to be a scary time of the year, but you've seen the news.
Real life is so scary. Racism is so scary. Climate change is so scary.
Fear in an Age of Real Life Horror on NPR's Code Switch.